in all of time, in all of history, man has never created one single living cell. Yet your body does that millions to billions of times a day. That's where I put my faith. So I try to encourage people. I want them to know that, listen, that there's a doctor 24/7 on the clock, making chemicals, making hormones, detoxing you. So yeah, compared to the smartest person you know or the greatest doctor you think, I'm just saying that level of intelligence is laughable compared to the wisdom that is in you right now, animating you so you can even hear me say this. If I can help you understand the magnificence of the body that God gave you, your fear of disease drops significantly. Your fear of a fever drops significantly because you realize that you're designed to heal. So I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Welcome to Designed to Heal.
Welcome back to the Design to Heal podcast. I am your average Jeff here with Dr. Ben Rall. And buddy, we've got a guest on the line today. As usual, day before, I'm usually texting you, who do we have? Getting excited about the day. And you're like, man, it's somebody good. So what is it, man? What's going on?
No doubt about it. Probably if I could kind of like curate some level of an ideal guest for what we stand for on this show and what we try to do for people. Tracy would be that kind of person. She from just the journey that she's gone through, but then also understands the realities of a real tough fight, but then also hope and truth and and articulating that in a way with grace and love, even though we're in battle. So our guest today is Tracy Slepcevic, and I did my best to say that last name right. I've been practicing with her. She's an author. She's a certified integrative health coach. She's a keynote speaker, U.S. Air Force veteran, founder of Pure Health LLC. She's also, the book that she just wrote, and I want to shout out about it right now, is called Warrior Mom. And, you know, I was just thinking about that name, and Tracy, you can tell us more about it, but you hear a lot about mama bears, and I appreciate that concept, and we need them, and they're the large reason that most of the world, I think, is waking up to what's going on. But warrior mom, to me, indicates kind of another level, and so I want to hear more about that. But welcome to the show, Tracy.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate it.
Will you tell us a little bit about your history, your journey? I know there's a lot we could talk about, but let's just kind of start with a little bit of your origin story, why you do what you do, and then we'll dive into some of the nitty gritty.
Well, first of all, the reason why I do what I do is because it's my purpose. My son was vaccine injured many years ago in 2006, and he regressed into a state of autism. And it has been such a beautiful spiritual journey that I'm so very honored and proud to talk to people about, because I feel like God has led me to do bigger things. And even though it was a rough road, and as I used the name Warrior Mom, and it truly came to me from a spiritual sense, because when you have a child with special needs, you truly have to put on your armor. And I can only speak from my own personal experience. I'm not discounting warrior dads at all. There's so many of them. But in that moment, I had to be a fighter. But God would send me angels. I kid you not. The journey was brutal and long. But man, when I was at my wit's end, he would always send me an angel to send me in the right direction. And I didn't truly realize it at the time. I definitely had faith for sure. But you know, when those angels come into your life years later, you're like, wow, that person was truly an angel. And I had so many of them in so many encounters that there are no accidents. I'm here to tell anybody. When you come into contact with somebody, it's, you know, God puts those people into your life for a very special reason. And the first woman that came into my life, she came to work for us for, I gotta say, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. She was there and she was gone. And then I never saw her again. But she was the mother of a child with autism. She came to work for us And it was long enough to tell me what to do, where to go, and how to do it, because I was so lost. And I had a pediatrician who just kept telling me that everything was just normal. My kid regressing, my kid not speaking at 3 years old, all normal. And I'm here to tell every parent out there, if your child is not speaking at age three, that is not normal. And I tell parents all the time, God is, you know, your gut intuition, your motherly or fatherly intuition, that gut feeling, that all those feelings, all those senses that we get, that is God speaking to us. And I'd listen to it, but then somebody would tell me something different. Someone that is in a trusted field that parents look up to, you know, and turn to for advice, for, you know, answers, and they're not doing their job. So in that moment, I was on a journey for 2.5 years trying to figure out what was wrong with Noah. And this woman literally guided me. And then it was like she was gone.
And Tracy, you said that with your son, just so people grasp this, because I mean, where our listeners are, you know, would be mostly like a friendly audience understanding this, but I think there's still some people that how do I want to say it? They just don't. When you've never experienced what you've experienced, I think that people kind of make up different narratives about what could happen and what can happen. Your son was a normal developing child, and then went in and got. You just want to tell that initial story, because I think people think, because you hear, because the media and the world is still trying to mess up this narrative and tell lies to people. And it's just, oh, it's because we diagnose it more and it's just not seen when they're little and all this kind of stuff. And I just want to encourage parents and blow that BS whistle as loud as I can, so people are not bamboozled by these stories, because stories like your son is more how it happens. So do you mind sharing that?
Oh, absolutely. So when Noah was born, very normal, he met all of his milestones at his 1 year well baby visit. There were some incidences. So after his 2-month-old vaccinations, he became so colicky. He screamed nonstop. And it, you know, it took a lot of love, a lot of patience, and throughout the year, he still fully developed. He crawled early. He walked early. I mean, the kid was climbing everything. You couldn't stop him. After that well baby visit, within 24 hours, Noah actually got the measles from the MMR. He developed measles and he got very sick. And it didn't kill him. So I'm here to tell you, if your child gets measles, they most likely will not die from it.
Right.
So Noah had bumps from head to toe. And then within, you know, so for about a week he had a fever, and the pediatrician just kept telling me over and over, this is normal. This is normal. All of this is normal. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't wrap my head around it, but I trusted her. So I moved on, and after Noah got better and they had to give him a mild steroid to help, you know, flush out the rest of the bumps. Noah just started on this path of regression. Now, he had his baby words, mama, dada, baba, you know, like I said, he was normal functioning physically and mentally. His eye contact was there. He would connect, and we had baby signs. So at 6 months old, I started teaching Noah baby sign language, and he used it. So after a few months, there was this major regression. He lost all speech. He lost all his baby signs. He lost some motor skills. So the kid who could climb everything had very weak motor skills, and he couldn't climb anything. He couldn't jump on off 2 feet. It little things that we look at and think that they're, oh, that's nothing, you know, jumping up and down, right? But when your kid can't, Mm-hmm. And then we lost his eye contact, and it was like, I lost my child. He had disappeared, and I couldn't connect with him, and I was, so I just went on my merry way. I asked the pediatrician what was wrong, and she just said everything's normal. If I had a dollar for every time that woman said it was normal.
Yeah.
So as time went on, no progression. It only got worse. And then came the tantrums, because when a child can't communicate what they want to say, it's frustrating. And then also you have to think they're in pain. So Noah also developed major ear infections, which is typically a vaccine injury related thing as well. I'm not going to 100% claim that, but it has been in studies by certain doctors and organizations that there is a link between vaccinations and ear infections as well, and skin conditions and asthma and type 1 diabetes.
Right.
So all these. So Noah, he definitely had his struggles, and he would have ear infections every day. I mean, every month. So I take him in, and they're like, oh, it's like our little mascot. And then Noah was allergic to penicillin. So it was very hard, to prescribe him something. And then he just, then after a while, these antibiotics, they just don't work for these kids. So they become so susceptible to different antibiotics. But anyways, going down the road, nothing. And then comes, age two, and I'm like, maybe I should put Noah in preschool. Maybe he just needs to engage with other children for all intents and purposes. He was an only child. He has a half sister, from my husband's previous marriage. And we had her every other weekend and a day throughout the week. But, he didn't have anybody at home. And, so I put him in preschool, tried to get him to engage. And 6 months later, the preschool calls us in for a meeting and says, Noah just won't engage. He won't potty train. He's the kid in the corner, rocking back and forth. He's very sensitive to noises and sounds and certain things. So he always has his hands over his ears. And she's like, I highly recommend you have him evaluated at the regional center. And that was all she could say. She was very loving. And I'm like, okay. So I went on my merry way and contacted the regional center, had them evaluated. And what they do at the regional center is they do a preliminary evaluation first before they hand it off to a clinical psychologist. And I'm here to tell all parents the best diagnosis you can get is from a clinical psychologist, a pediatrician, a therapist, whether it be speech, occupational, whatever, physical. They cannot diagnose autism. They are not equipped or knowledgeable to diagnose autism. So the best evaluation is through a clinical psychologist. They are the ones who are educated enough to do diagnoses of neurological disorders. So the preliminary evaluation was an absolute joke. So Noah's running around. At this point, I had worked with Noah on regaining his speech. So we had used cue cards. So Noah developed what they call echolalia. So you say, Noah, say red. He would say red. He could process the last word that you said, but he didn't have communicative language. So he couldn't communicate with language. He'd be like red, 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 and run around red. And then, so that's what he was doing with her when she's holding up cue cards, and he's flickering on the lights. He's not paying attention. His eye contact's all over the place, and she's getting frustrated. And I'm like, why is she so frustrated? This is her job. So I asked her, after the evaluation was complete, can you tell me anything? And she's like, well, I can't get him to sit still, and he's all over the place, but he either has autism or severe ADHD, but I'm not a clinical psychologist, so I can't diagnose that. And she walks out. And the Detroit girl in me wanted to kick her in the rear. I'm just going to, you know, give that in PG terms. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you just say that to a parent? Mm. So I went home and I'm like, I will never take him back there. Mm. Well, lo and behold, she never forwarded that paperwork to the clinical psychologist and she never did her job properly. So Noah got lost in the system. So then, you know, a little while later, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll try like a Montessori school. They almost kind of make them engage a little bit more. They, you know, there's a little more, they just have different methods of doing things. And so I put Noah in a Montessori school. And time went on and he would, you know, nothing was changing. And so he turns three and my sister was in town and she's like, Tracy, you know, can you maybe take into consideration that Noah could have autism? And I thought to myself, I'm like, my idea of autism was Dustin Hoffman's character in the movie Rain Man. So that wasn't how I saw my son. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm open. So I had his 3-year well baby visit. I went in, I asked the pediatrician. I said, is it possible my son can have autism? And Noah is like spinning her stethoscope round and round and round and round and round and round. Now, us special needs parents call that repetitive play. And she looks at him for less than a second and is like, no, kids with autism don't do pretend play. And he's pretend playing. And again, I'm here to reiterate that pediatricians cannot diagnose autism based on, you know, that example right there. So she's like, he just needs speech. So she wrote me the speech referral and I'm like, okay. And then that was when the woman came to work in our office and I brought Noah home from school one day. And, I got into it with the owner of the school because Noah was being abused because he was the kid who didn't want to go near other children. And one child was like, you are going to play with me or I'm going to hurt you. And she bit him one day and she got sent home and then she came back and she scratched his face. And then I was like, I'm livid. So I see the owner there and she used to be one of my husband's clients. And I talked to her and I'm like, you know, do you have a minute? And she's like, I know what you want to talk to me about. And I'm here to tell you, you have a kid with special needs and we have no place for him here at our school. And I'm like, wow. By the way, that was Peninsula Montessori School. And I'm like, wow, And I was stunned. Again, the Detroit girl in me wanted to do something else, but I'm like, I don't have time for this person. I have to find out what's wrong with my child. So before I went home, I went to the office and I'm crying. I'm just in tears. And here's this wonderful new employee sitting at the front desk, just kind as can be, you know, openly willing to comfort me. What's wrong? And I told her, and she's like, oh, well, you know, this is what you need to do. Your child's 3 years old now. You can go through the school district. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know that. And nobody gives you a guidebook when your child is diagnosed with autism, which is kind of why I wrote my book the way I did. I wrote it as an inspirational story of hope, and then a guidebook, and then how to heal the underlying conditions associated with autism or anything in this world, actually, that we have underlying going on. So from there, she really spent her time navigating the system and helping me on how to move forward and And I scheduled that evaluation with Launch Preschool. And they were so amazing. So amazing. It was a very thorough evaluation, about 3 hours long. And it was, there was a child psychologist, speech pathologist, special education teacher, physical therapist, occupational therapist, you name it. They were amazing. And, you know, when they were done with their evaluation, they met for a moment and then they came back in the room and the child psychologist looks at me. Her name was Sally. She was a very kind, older lady. And she said, I'm so very sorry to say, but we do find that Noah is autistic-like. And because it's a school district, they cannot formally diagnose a child with autism. So they have to use the word autistic-like. I did take that report and go back to the regional center, and he was formally diagnosed by a clinical psychologist. But in the meantime, the only thing I heard come out of her mouth was autism. And so I think my husband heard most of what she said. And she's like, you know, we are going to enroll Noah here at Launch Preschool. We're going to give him physical therapy, occupational therapy, behavioral therapy. I mean, it was like all my prayers were being answered. And I was sitting there in an absolute daze. Autism just kept ringing through my ears. So on the way home, I had to stop by the office. And again, my angel number two, next to our office was my naturopathic doctor. And he was so amazing, Dr. Joshua Burka. He's such an amazing doctor. And he's one of the lead scientists and researchers for the Beamer. And I'm walking down the hall and he's walking the other way and he sees me crying and he reaches out and gives me a hug and he's like, what's wrong? And I said, well, Noah was diagnosed with autism. And he backs up for a second. He looks me in the eye and it was like God was speaking to me. I kid you not. He said, Noah's going to be fine, Tracy. I want you to go home and I want you to do your research because kids these days are making great strides with biomedical intervention. Now, at the time, I had no idea what biomedical intervention meant, but I was going to go home and I almost ran home. I got in the car and I'm like, honey, let's go. So I started back then. This was 2008 and 2009. You could Google healing autism and you could get some great references. And so I went to every conference, parent meeting, tea talk, read book after book after book, and just educated myself. I immediately started a gluten-free, dairy-free diet. My naturopath was also kind enough to spend half of his day assisting me with finding the best functional medicine doctor for Noah. He called all these doctors. Back then they were called DAN certified doctors. You know, it was a Defeat Autism Now protocol. Now it's MAPS, Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs. But he called all these DAN doctors. He's like, what kind of tests are you running? What labs do you use? You know, what are your prices? He wanted to know if they were price gouging. And, you know, my husband and I were very strapped at the time. And so he found the most perfect doctor for us. And, you know, she ran the battery of tests, you know, urine, fecal, blood, every which way from Sunday, you know, just tested everything for Noah. So he had a lot of yeast, obviously, from being on antibiotics every month. So she's like, you know, moving forward, we need to do, you know, no gluten, no dairy, no soy, because soy is a similar makeup to dairy, and no refined carbs or sugars. Now, most people back then were like, well, what do you eat? Today we just tell them, well, real food. If you can pick it, pluck it, grow it, skin it, or if God put it on this earth, you can eat it. I moved forward with myself and my son. Went on a very strict way of eating. a different lifestyle, especially one to which I was raised from. Because if it was in a box, a package, or a can, I'm certain that I ate it when I was a child. Because my mom was, you know, she worked full time, and I was raised by my grandfather, who, you know, was pasta. It's pasta night, and it's mac and cheese night, or let me make you, you know, he's a man. So he did his best. He was wonderful. But we ate garbage. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn a whole different way of cooking and eating and all this stuff. And I immediately started to see Noah come to, even before I had the doctor's visit, when I removed gluten and dairy. And then I also noticed, after I asked for a copy of Noah's medical records, that those two times that I went into the pediatrician's office and asked, is it possible my son could have autism? She noted in there, or went back and noted, as we call doctored those records, and stated, I recommend that Noah's parents get an evaluation for autism. Hmm. And I immediately called her up and I asked them to, I said, you can have we'll just say Dr. D, call me back, or she's going to be served with a lawsuit tomorrow. So she immediately calls me back, and I did not hold back. So I'm not going to say the things that I said, because mm-hmm. they weren't very nice. Mm-hmm. But her first thing was, oh, well, if I didn't tell you, I must have told your husband. Oh, yes. And I know my husband is so busy that he completely forgot to tell me that there was a possibility that our son could have autism. And I said, listen, I'm going to end this phone call, because I chewed her out for about an hour on the phone. I'm going to end this phone call in a very loving way. I'm not going to be the only parent that has a child with autism that comes into your office. But I'm probably going to be one of the nicer parents. And I'm not going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on my child's healing. And you are going to be a thing of the past. I'm not going to think about you. I'm not going to dwell on you. And I pray you don't do this to any other children. And I actually came into contact with many other parents that she did the exact same thing with, believe it or not. It's a small world and a small community.
Tracy, can I ask you something? I just want to kind of pause here for a second, because I think, you know, hearing you just take the time to walk through this journey, which of course was even though you took some time to tell the story, it's still a fraction, of course, of what you really lived through. But I think it's so, I just want the families, and I'm thinking of some family members or from people that I know, patients and such that listen, that have children that have been diagnosed with autism and are at different stages of recovery and things like that. Like, I think you just really gave us just a taste of what that journey can feel like, especially when you come from a place that you didn't really know anything about it. You didn't think there was risks with vaccines. You trusted your pediatrician. You know, you were like many people are now. Sure, we can sit here post COVID and there's some more people that have, in a sense, woken up. But the story that you just told is unfortunately still too common, where people just don't know, right? And I know you have a lot of empathy for people who were like you were. And that's what I know a lot of times, and that's why I appreciate the idea of a warrior mom, because a lot of moms and families get so consumed simply by just trying to recover their child and heal their child. And also just, you know, that they never make it, they never make the time to write the book. They don't ever, you know, you're so hurt or something. I'm sure people respond differently. You sound like a fighter, obviously, laughing at I'm from the Midwest. So when you say Detroit, I spent some time in Michigan, so I know, get a glimpse of what you're talking about there. But, you know, some people probably just get so heartbroken. They're so depressed when they get that diagnosis. They're so, they don't have the response and an angel that came into their life, like your naturopath doctor and the front desk lady and others, where they gave you hope. And it's not, and I want people to understand this, it's not false hope. Hope is what we all need. I mean, hope is why any of our feet hit the floor. It's, we have to believe that there is good to come, that we can make a difference, that there's people we can help and serve. And you do that. And I know you've gone into detail. You don't need to today, but every excuse that you have, that parents have said before, you know, you lived it. You and your husband, I know you said, we're going through a real tough time financially with his business. And you, it was not like you were just, you know, living it up and just flying around the world to, you know, spend some money and try to find out stuff. I mean, you really had to get after it. And I think anything in life, whether it's recovering or healing a child from autism or any other health condition or other obstacle that comes into your life, it's going to be a battle. It generally is. I mean, it's just, it's kind of how life is. And so I just know for parents that are listening, you know, that journey of kind of learning what probably happened to your son or what did happen to your son, and then learning like, well, the difficulties to try to recover him and all of those things. And then even though, how old is he now, Tracy?
Your son? He's
18 now, and almost 19. And I'm sure that the journey continues. It's not all roses. I mean, just I have two teenagers as well. So just having teenagers is a challenge, let alone the journey you've been on. But there is, of course, and so you did have success, and that's kind of where you were getting into. You started, even though I know in 2008, I mean, it was earlier. I mean, there was still, we know more now, if you will, we'll know more in 20 more years. But so what, yeah, you started to do some of these things and you started to see your son come around?
Yes.
And what were, yeah, so, go ahead, yeah.
Parents always ask me, well, what's the number one thing? Because they're looking for the one pill cures all, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm here to say, not out there yet. I'm still looking for it. But what was the one thing that you did that made the biggest difference? And I said, well, on the day that Dr. Burkhardt told me that my son was going to be okay, I literally knew from that moment on, and I felt this down to a cellular level, that my son was going to be okay. That no matter what, he was going to be able to function someday. I felt it. I saw it. And what a lot of people don't understand is that, you know, God created everything as energy. So energy is everything. Everything is energy. So your thoughts, your words, everything can become your reality if that's what you feel and think and put out into the universe. So I knew in that moment that Noah was going to be fine. So I tell people the number one thing is to have faith, because with God, all things are possible. And this is part of my presentation that I always give too. I have a nice big slide that says, here's your number one. With God, all things are possible. Because without God, there are no possibilities. And Noah, I knew, and you're right, every age, every milestone creates its challenges in a way. But in, you're probably talking about the chapter that says, let go and let God. Mm. So at this point in my son's life, where he's a teenager and he knows everything, and he is probably literally on a liquid sugar and carbohydrate diet. And it like blows my mind. And I educate him. I don't yell at him. I don't, it has to truly come from a space of love. Noah, I'm concerned for you, because he's obese now. But he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do drugs, he doesn't really do anything bad. Every time I tell him every day, take your supplements. Okay, Mom. When I send him to go get his immune boosting IVs, because, you know, eating those foods, he's not doing his system any good. Okay, Mom. You know, he goes to the doctors on his own now. He drives, you know, he goes to college, he takes care of himself. And this is what I wanted for my child. Mm. So even though he's making very poor dietary, you know, decisions, I'm certain at 18 years old, I did too, but I was way more active. That was the thing. I, you know, back then our parents kicked us out of the house and said, don't come back until it's dark. Right. For sure. So Noah is, he's a good soul and he's on his own beautiful journey. And I honor that. He goes to meet with a trainer 3 days a week. He is really good with that. I have no problems, you know, on that end. And I am truly grateful for, everything that he agrees to. And he always tells me, Mom, I know I may not agree with you on everything, but, I know that everything that you're doing is to, you know, to try and make my life better and to keep me healthy. So he's got a great foundation. So everyone keeps telling me, you just have to let go. And I trust God has a perfect journey for him. And I have so much faith that I know no matter what, God will watch over him, whether he gets sick or, you know, it doesn't matter because he's still a child of God. And no matter where we are in life, he will always have this beautiful and perfect journey, just as I did. And Noah gave me purpose. You know, a lot of times when I say, you know, I have a child with special needs and, you know, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not. I thank you for your compassion, but I'm good. You know, my kid has, you know, a lot of times we walk through life not knowing what to do with our lives. And especially as Noah got older, I had a sense of it's almost like I went through a mourning period because he was like, he's always been my everything. Like, and then I'm like, okay, so what do I do now? Mm. And then that was where I went to this retreat and I met this woman who wrote a book and I'm like, wow, I've always wanted to write a book about my journey with my son and healing him. And she's like, so what's stopping you? And thus began my journey to writing Warrior Mom. I'm like, well, there's my other sign. There's God telling me, you know, now's your time. So
would you, I had a couple of thoughts too. So, cause you have this, I just think you have a way of being able to discuss this, that is there any advice that you would give? And you kind of are alluding to it there, like when you meet people and you say, I have a child with special needs or I have a child with autism or however you say that, that is there a best way for that you, so, you know, you talk about these kind of angels that have shown up in your life and spoken into you. And I don't know the details of the conversations, but like, is there for a mom or a young family that is maybe doesn't know all of these things, right? They have no idea that vaccines can cause the injuries they cause. They have no idea about health and healing and holistic health and healing. I mean, obviously you've got a lot of certifications and trainings. I mean, you do this in a sense for a living now, I mean, you health coach people and you teach people about all these things. How can a parent or a friend, maybe listeners to this podcast that, because unfortunately, I mean, I've seen some of the statistics. I think in the next, 10 years or so, they said that it's possible that 1 out of 2 children will have autism. I mean, it's a statistic that just makes me cry and scream at the same time. So these conversations are going to be inevitable. Do you have any advice for people? How do they speak or share with moms or families that, hey, there are concerns about these, or like the people that came into your life and said, hey, maybe get this checked. What are your, because obviously prevention would be the best, right? I mean, you know, yeah. I know because not everybody's able to get the recovery that you have been able to get. So any advice for us on kind of talking with parents or especially ones that maybe don't know what's going on?
So I wrote my book very specific to guide parents. And if you know what royalties are, you'll know that that nobody gets rich unless you're yeah. a Harry Potter off of writing a book. And if I'm ever able to cover the expenses of writing this book, I would just be, you know, over the moon. Yeah. you know, read the book. If you can't afford the, I think it's on Amazon for $14.95 or something. If you cannot afford that, email me at tracy@warriormom.org and I will send you a free ebook. Read the book, because I would be repeating a lot of things. Yeah. And there's these three special words that I tell everybody in life. Trust the process. There is a process to everything, and there's a beautiful journey behind it. So even though some parents are not able to get the results that I got, like let's say speech, you know, they're not able to regain speech for their child. Well, look at this beautiful method that just came out, right? Speller's method, spell to communicate. And what an amazing journey these parents are having with their children now that they, these individuals, I won't even call them children because they're of all ages, are now able, they felt trapped for so long and they're now able to communicate. But a journey can look many different ways. And you could be angry, you could be spiteful, you could be anything. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to put all feelings aside and get to work. There's no one pill that fixes all. It is hard work. And you can't just, oh, today I'll remove gluten, I'll do it halfway. And, you know, maybe tomorrow, but, you know, my kid loves milk. You know, I just really think that I, you know, he deserves to have some milk. And what I tell those parents is, well, what I want you to do is I want you to put the milk aside and I want you to hand him a glass of whiskey because that's exactly what that milk is doing to him. And while you're at it, go find a new coach, because if you're not willing to do the work, I can't help you. I can't. God helps those who help themselves. It's a very old saying, and my mom must have said it a million times in my life. So you truly have to, you have to feel it. You have to know it. You have to just kind of see the beauty in the process. So recently I was asked to do a TEDx talk and I was really excited. I'm like, oh, I get to, you know, I watched a lot of TED Talks in college and this was a while ago, by the way. And I'm like, I'm so excited. So, you know, I put together that 2-minute video. I got a coach and then I was offered to do a 10-minute TEDx talk in Houston. And this is the story I was telling you about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was supposed to be for May 11th. And so I'm putting together this 10-minute TEDx talk. Now, you have to understand, when I get on a stage and I speak straight from spirit. I just let God speak through me and I don't stumble. I don't script it. I don't rehearse it. I don't anything. I just pray before I go up on a stage and I say, God, please let your words, you know, come through me. And, but TEDx, you got to memorize every word. You got to submit it, get it approved. So my TEDx coach like ripped it apart. And I'm like, ugh. So I'm going back and forth with him. And he's like, well, you have to draw the audience into your talk. So I did that. And I took a little bit of his advice and I had to remove the word God. So this was my first issue. You cannot speak anything spiritual and you cannot say the word God.
And these rules come from the TEDx world, the TED talk world. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we got it to a decent place where I can pretty much paint a picture for these people that yes, it was, you know, God put Noah into my life for a beautiful. And then I passed it on to the guy who was running the event and he was to do the final edits and everything else that resonated with me in that talk, whatever was left over, the remnants of what was left over, he crossed out and deleted. And then I very simply, I responded. I said, you know, I want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity, because I know it's not an easy thing to get on a TEDx stage. But I am going to have to decline. And he's like, what? I picked this date because that was the only date in May that you were available. And I said, I understand. I said, but you deleted everything that truly resonated with me. And what's left is a complete empty shell of a talk. And it, you know, it's not, that's not my purpose. And I will, so recently, me and my husband were called right-winged extremist Christian nationalists, which, yay, anti-actors, QAnoners, which I didn't know what a QAnon was until I heard that. And the list goes on. And I'm like, bring it on. Because I have an army of angels surrounding me. And when my husband, who had been slammed in the press before, when he looked at me when my book was about to come out, he said, are you ready for this? I said, absolutely. God's got my back. So I'm here to tell everybody that I'm going to scream it to the rooftops. I'm never, ever going to allow anybody to tell me to remove God from my talk again. Yeah. And if that's what you don't want to hear, then, you know, onward, upward. It is not worth it to me. No matter what financially I put into, you know, hiring a coach or whatever, it doesn't matter. It was a great learning lesson, and you can look at everything in life an opportunity to wallow in your own self-pity or to learn.
Man, Tracy, and I know you keep talking about the angels that showed up in your life. I've had a few in my life there's no other way to explain it. Some I think were legitimate angels. Like, I don't think they're of this world or this place. Just things that were moments in my life. My wife would attest to this, and she's had her own experiences. But I want to tell you that I think you're an angel for many. What you're doing, and you know, you have, even though I'm just listening to you talk, you're this, and I mean this as such a compliment, you're this like enigma conglomeration of like one of the sweetest moms I've ever heard, slash, you know, like, don't mess with me, slash, I will fight to the death for my family, for truth, for those things. And then even that TEDx story, I honestly didn't know how it was going to end, because I know some people that have played that game, and it honestly broke my heart, Tracy. I did know in probably my heart how that story was going to end. I hoped it was going to end the way you told me it did, because I know people that have compromised their principles and their faith to get on that stage. And it's rare. I've never actually heard anybody walk away from it. I've heard all the opposite, right? And so to me, that is, you know, we need more people like you. And it's part of the reason, I've known about you for a long time, and then I heard your book, and I saw you on the High Wire, and I was like, man, this is a special person that is speaking into just an area that I think sometimes, Tracy, it's almost like I don't know how to say it, but it's like this forgot. It's part of our spirit that's gotten so kicked down and beaten up in the world, and we almost don't even realize that it's missing, because it's so rare. So to hear your journey and for your son, and just your transparency and your authenticness, and most importantly, your faith, is really powerful. And I know there's going to be people that are going to listen to this, and they're going to be touched. But here's the deal. It's not just about, you know, hearing an amazing story from an amazing person that's been on an amazing journey in Noah's recovery. That's a great episode. But that's not really what this is all about. What you need to do is you need to go buy Tracy's book, actually a couple of them probably, and you need to read it, and then you need to give it to a friend. Because where we're heading in this time and in this world, we need warrior moms and dads for more than just autism. Because that's only getting worse, unfortunately, and the other degenerative diseases and chronic diseases atrocity and that's happening in our nation, particularly regarding health, because of pharma and government and all these things. We need to be equipped, and we need to, like you said, I got this angel of armies around me, protecting me, but also that work isn't just so we can huddle and hide in our little cave. It's so we can go out and do the work, and we can go take action, right? It's the book of James. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, which is, it's that tension between, of course, faith, but faith without works is dead. So we got to get in the game. Your son wouldn't be recovered if you just sat home and talked about it all day long. You had to get in the game, and you had to fight harder than you ever fought. And so I know this isn't how people are normally talked to. And yes, you might meet Tracy and see she's a sweet, wonderful mom and all that, but make no mistake, she's a warrior, right? And men, and I agree, and I get on my high horse sometimes with men because they need to wake the blank up and get their crap together and man up. And I'm so sick of wimpy little men sitting around, you know, it's embarrassing to me, honestly. I get very frustrated about it. I won't waste the time on it. But so just thank you, Trey. I want to give you last word. I want to make you sure that people know how to follow you, how to get your book. I'm on your website right now, warriormom.org, and you get on there and you know, you can hire you for coaching, and you can just reach out. You're very generous with the things that you share in there. So best way for people to follow you and to stay in touch, and then just any last words.
So literally I'm the only Tracy Slepcevic out there in this world. My husband gave me a very unique last name, one that most people cannot pronounce. Thank you for doing your best. Usually people do the combination. There's no wrong way if you look at it, but, you know, I'm on Facebook. I have a Warrior Mom site on Facebook. Unfortunately, through Instagram, my personal and my Warrior Mom were hacked into and stolen.
Okay.
So as hard as I tried to get those back, I ended up creating a new, it's I think Tracy Author Mama or something, through Instagram, but I didn't redevelop the whole, because even the new one that only had like 150 followers, he was trying to steal that as well. So I'm not huge on Instagram anymore, although I had over 12,000 followers. And I am on, I am on Twitter or X.
Okay.
Is that what they call it now?
I think so.
So on, that's Autism Mom Tracy.
Okay.
And then you can find me anywhere on Facebook. I have a personal, I have the Autism Health Summit. So we are doing a conference now annually. I just did my very first conference for autism in San Antonio on February 2nd and 3rd. Mm-hmm. You can go to autismhealth.com and you can still purchase the recorded versions. It's a 2-day conference and you can get all the slides. Mm-hmm. And if it's a professional that needs to earn CME credits, they can also earn 13 CME credits if they purchase the professional track. But next year it'll be in Southern California somewhere, if I'm ever able to find a venue. a little more pricier down here. I just really want to make it affordable for parents. And, you know, so I'm out there doing my best, but, you know, if you just pull up Tracy Slepcevic, be careful not to click on the bad stuff, because then that just gives it fuel. I'm here to say, when you're out there doing God's work, they're going to come after you. And they come after me and my husband hard.
Yeah.
And they write bogus articles about us, except the part where I'm called a Christian nationalist and anti-vaxxer. And I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle because I'm a huge Kennedy fan. And, you know, he's got a, you know, major love for God. Their children. And so it's those that I, but I'm not, it's not about being right, left, or anything. I love Kennedy's slogan about bridging the divide, you know, which is why he became independent. He said, I want to bridge the divide between the right and the left, because, and just heal it. So it's a very, crazy world out there. We just have to rise above. I know God will protect us and keep us safe. So you can, if you purchase my book, or if you read the ebook, I ask that you read it first before you ask for a free consultation. I will give a free consultation if you took the time to read it, because everything I would tell somebody is in there. It's not about selling a book. it's a great guidebook.
Okay.
With a lot of resources. So I say, and then write down all your questions, and I'm willing to do a free consultation. So they can reach me at tracy@warriormom.org for that. Okay. And that's T-R-A-C-Y. And you know, however, I put stuff out in regards to the conference, you know, I keep doing interviews, and I will keep blowing it up. I will be at the Reawaken America tour, June 7th in Michigan, my hometown.
Oh man.
So I'll be 30 minutes from my hometown, and I am a proud Midwestern girl. So I just, you know, much love to everybody out there. You just have to, these children have a beautiful place in the world, no matter what their functionality is. I wasn't trying to change my son. I wasn't trying to heal him or cure him, or heal him, yes, but not cure him, but to give him the most functional and most comfortable life possible, with no limits for his future. And he has that.
Yeah.
So any parent can have that, no matter what that journey looks like. You just have to have faith.
Amen. So. Well, Tracy, I really do consider it an honor. And I know that walking this path, it reminds me always of the scripture, right? Let us not grow weary doing good works. The enemy loves for us to get weary, loves for us to throw in the towel, loves for us to think it doesn't matter, but nothing could be further from the truth, and you are evidence of that. So I just pray for you and your husband and your family and kiddos, and just all the things that you do to reach out, that the Lord blesses them and just continues to give you wisdom and discernment on the things that he's called you to do. Thank you so much for your time today, Tracy. Take care. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you as well and everyone else.
Thanks for listening to Designed to Heal. Always remember that the greatest doctor lives inside of you, and God gave you what you need to be healthy and well. Connect with Dr. Ben at drbenrawl.com or achievewellness.clinic. And please share this podcast with someone who needs to hear it, and follow us on Instagram @DesignToHealPodcast.